Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, how primary school spawned a lifelong interest in running.
You would burn these patches. I got 200 kilometers, 400 kilometers, 800 kilometers, and you put these patches and sew them onto your track jacket at the time. And the community effect was, together, we want to run to the moon. And then when we made it to the moon, because they would track it in the hallways and, you know, basically put that visually so you could see how far we got. And then it was like, okay, now we got to run back to Earth.
Spreading the word about the democracy of running.
Running for everybody, and it doesn't, you know, matter what time you're running. You know, hard is hard. Whatever's hard for you and whatever your definition of success is and whatever your definition of what your body image you want it to be, that's what's important. And there's no one body type that's supposed to be an elite runner or even just a regular runner.
And going from a few solitary runs to embracing the running community.
Sort of an unexpected thing that I came out of running was meeting the awesome community that we have. And I've met some of my very best friends through my running community as well. So it originally was a bit of a break from studying that drew me to running. And then in the end, it was the people that made me stay.
On this edition of iRun Radio, the CEO of Noon Hydration, who's a runner and triathlete. We're also going to talk to one of many Canadians who is getting ready for the New York City Marathon, and the inspiring elite athlete Sasha Golish is going to join us. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How are you? How has your week been?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty inspired. I had a really cool thing happen to me with my running, which can happen sometimes.
Okay. And, let's hear it.
Well, so 3 weeks ago, I did a long run, and I'd kind of like, I wouldn't say slacked. I stayed running since the Ottawa Marathon in May, but I hadn't been training, let's say. And I certainly hadn't done any long runs. I certainly hadn't done any speed work. So I started thinking about getting back into it, and I really suffered on a long run. You know, one of these ones where it's just like, by the time I made it, the people in my group were like, wow, way to gut it out there. Like, I was visibly hurting, you know? But the week after that was a 30K race, and I beat my around the bay times for the last couple of years. So all of a sudden, I went from barely being able to do 30K to doing a 30K quickly. And then last weekend, I did 36 in practice with a woman who is going for 2:55 at the Chicago Marathon. So all the, and I kind of, not to brag, but, you know, I was neck and neck with her, and actually, although she had done 7K in front of me, so, you know, but doesn't matter. It's all really about my own race. But the point is, now
this isn't about her.
Yeah, not about it. But the point is, now I'm like, huh, maybe I'm, you know, just like that. And just like that, with three big races like that, I've got speed work, you know, now all of a sudden it's like, huh, man, because I used to be not like, oh, I'll never try to break 3 hours again. But now it's like, now my eating is better. You know, once you start taking your running a little seriously and you get a little momentum, it's like, okay. And now I do the same thing. I swap out potato chips for carrots, and I, you know, no more, you know, I could just drink Perrier instead of beer and all these things. And now it's like, you know, you lose 2 pounds or 1 pound, but then you feel like you're a machine. And now I'm like, huh, I wonder if I could break 3 hours at Scotiabank. Because, you know, still 8 weeks, you know. So
you are planning to do the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon this year?
I am. I mean, I'm doing the New York Marathon like 2 weeks after that. But I think, you know, I would do New York as a fun run. And I wasn't really thinking too much of anything. But now it's like, wow, I have all that in my legs. So we'll see. But the Army run is coming up. So maybe if I was going to do that thing that me and you did last year with the 5.5.
Yeah, that was fun.
Are you doing that again? Are you doing that?
I haven't decided yet. I might. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't figured it out. You know, to be honest, I haven't thought past this weekend.
Right.
It's like one week at a time. It's been a little bit busy. So, I'm doing Chicago. I shouldn't say I haven't thought past this weekend because I'm doing the Chicago Marathon, but I haven't figured out what I'm doing leading up to that.
And Chicago's what, 5 weeks?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, because it's October the 7th, I think. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's coming up fast.
Huge Canadian contingency going there.
Yeah, the thing I find with the fall marathons is that you think they're way off in the distance. Because when you talk about October, it seems like a long way away. And then you realize, like, in August, I'm 8 weeks away from the marathon.
What do you need for a PB?
A miracle? a new set of legs, 10 years taken off my life.
Nice.
I'm no longer in PB, you know.
Yeah, I used to say that. Maybe you are.
And now it's about running, you know, the best marathon this decade, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good. That's a good way of putting it. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess, and like, if you age graded it, it could be a PB still.
Yeah,
I guess
sure.
You put a lot of caveats and excuses and asterisks next to it, like, as a way to.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm excited for you. I'm glad you're feeling this way. Now, be careful, because it can all come crashing down with one run as well, right? Just
I
as
know.
You can build yourself up and create expectations with two or three runs, it can, you know, you could, the reality check can come as well, but maybe it won't. Maybe you'll have a great experience. In the meantime, you've taken all the fun out of your life. No more potato chips, no more beer, you know?
Well, I think now, you know what? You've convinced me. Maybe I'm over the hill, and I think I'm
going to...
I'm
over the hill. You're not over the hill. You're younger than me.
That was like my wife's 6 months, you know? That's.
I don't think so.
The new iRun ethos just...
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope it continues for you. I hope when we talk next week, you're telling me about another terrific long run that you've had in the meantime. So good luck with that. We've got a great show coming up with Kevin Rutherford of Noon. Great guy, triathlete, runner. We're going to talk to Sasha Golish. And I know you guys are planning a little reunion of iRun cover photo subjects at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, right?
Yeah, we have so much stuff going on around that race.
Yeah.
It's really an exciting time, and I hope people have been following. There's a magazine that we're going to make on race day using all the sports stats, finishing times, and
cool.
It's very much akin to the Boston Marathon magazines that they put after the race.
Yeah.
And so each week we have tips, these training tips by Reed Coolset, who's an Olympian, and Rachel Hanna, who's an exciting marathon runner, to help with your races. Now, whether you're running the Army Run or the Ottawa Marathon or whatever, these are things like, you know, how to develop a kick and how to increase your endurance for 38K and something more to advance your speed work. So this is great stuff. And each week we're doing a contest that people that tell us how they do these things, how they develop a kick, how they get the negative thoughts at bay, will be featured in that magazine. So we very much have a live contest going on now. We encourage everybody to participate and check out irun.ca.
Okay, good stuff. We're also going to talk to a runner who's getting ready for New York, just like you. Ben, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, sir.
Coming up next, we'll talk to the CEO of Noon. We'll be right back. For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. Presented by BMO, in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa-Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race. The 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race. Register at armyrun.ca. Our first guest this week is the CEO of Noon Hydration, one of the sponsors of the Army Run, coming up in a couple of weeks. Kevin Rutherford lives and works in Seattle, but he's originally from Ottawa. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here.
Let's talk about you and your running, and you also participate in triathlons, from what I understand. So tell us a little bit about how you got into running and participating in races and triathlons.
You know, it's, as you're asking that question, since I'm talking to you and you're located in my hometown of Ottawa, it actually hit me right now going, you know, when it all started, when it came to running, is I went to an elementary school in Bell's Corners. And one of the interesting things about Bell's Corners public school, so I remember I was there for actually grade 4 and grade 6. We moved in between and then moved back to Bell's Corners. That's why there was a skip in between.
Okay.
So what's interesting about Bell's Corners, there's something really cool here that I think gave me a love for running, but also I think it gave me almost an ability that stayed with me throughout as I became, you know, went into my adult world. And here's the interesting thing about Bell's Corners Public School, if you don't know, every day students have to run. I believe, if I remember correctly, unfortunately it's a long time ago, but I think it's 20 minutes a day. And so that really got me into running.
Wow.
And so you would take this break and then everyone would run. Not everyone at the same time, by the way. So classes would kind of do it periodically. So you might be out there at the same time as another class. When you think about that, And I'm as you ask that question, I'm going, it's really quite profound what this elementary school did way back in the 70s for me. And you know, assuming, and I hope they still do it today, but it's so profound because I would suspect that our school not only did really well at track meets and cross-country meets as a result, but I wonder if the students were healthier in general. So I went off a little tangent here, but I think that's where it all started back in, you know, early grade school.
Very cool. Yeah. And think about the impact that has on those kids, right? And potentially a lasting impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will say, even on a business sense, I've said to the team here at Noon Hydration, we'll get into that later, I'm sure, but I've actually used Bell's Corners Public School. One of the things that we did, there was the individual impact, but then there was a community impact that we as a group were doing. And basically, the idea was you would earn these patches. I got 200 kilometers, 400 kilometers, 800 kilometers, and you put these patches and sew them onto your track jacket at the time. And the community effect was, together, we want to run to the moon. And then when we made it to the moon, because they would track it in the hallways and, you know, basically put that visually, yeah, so you could see how far we got. And then it was like, okay, now we got to run back to Earth. So I just think there's something really, really powerful there, that there's both many schools, but I think actually a lot of businesses can learn from.
Sure. Well, and what that powerfully illustrates is just how, you know, I think most of the difficult things you do in life are, you do them one step at a time, and you accumulate very, very gradually over a long period of time, despite all of the rhetoric about overnight success stories and that kind of thing. I think most people who do well at something, it's because they put in those incremental steps every day, every week, that kind of thing.
I agree with you. You know, the incremental steps isn't the most exciting story for people,
yeah,
to hear. And you're right. They, you know, people are looking for that overnight success. But the truth of the matter is, other than the once in a many, many millions lottery type winner in life, or literally in a lottery, there are no shortcuts. And so you have to put in the work and one step at a time, like you said, and just kind of keep progressing. I think that's definitely a life lesson.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if I fast forward to today, it's interesting. I stopped running when once I really got into high school, I focused mostly on just playing hockey, and then university. And I was just, you know, using some run to really work on speed, but otherwise I wasn't doing anything long distance. It wasn't until my adult life that I started really running again. Now I've done a few marathons and some half marathons and have fun with it.
And what is it you enjoy about running?
Well, I think one of the things I've learned about myself is I like to set a goal. And I think running allows me to set a goal and to pursue it. And the reason why running allows me to pursue it more so than maybe any sport is it's so easy to do. Ultimately, all you need is a pair of shoes, you know, shorts and a shirt, and away you go, and you can do it anywhere. So for me, I travel quite a bit, and running really gives me that flexibility. It's measurable to the point that I can push myself to say I can do better than that, and I keep trying to go faster. So I just love the idea that you can kind of, the flexibility, the control of your own destiny, push yourself to different heights by, again, just putting the work in. I think as I get older, I'm actually getting faster. So I think that's kind of interesting that age hasn't been, at least for me anyway, an inhibitor at this point.
Yeah, good for you.
I think there's also a community effect too, right?
Sure.
When you think of that one, is when we run together with others, we kind of share that little bit of pain if you're pushing yourself forward. So you have this common aspect, that, like something that you share together. And I just think that's really powerful. And I've met some of my best friends in life through training for run or triathlon.
Very cool. All right, we should talk about Noon because you guys are playing a big role in the Army Run here in Ottawa and in many other events. You've got a growing and thriving business in North America. Tell us what brought you to this business and what you get out of the experience of helping to fuel runners.
You got it. Love to answer that. Thanks for asking. So I actually came to Noon, spelled N-U-U-N, for those wondering how you spell it, not O-O, as in midday, but sounds the same. And I came to Noon about 5 years ago, and I was asked to see if I would be interested in being the new CEO of the company, to see if we could take it into a different direction from where it was. And for me, I couldn't be more excited because I knew the brand, although small, but it had a pretty strong presence in the endurance community in the U.S. in particular. And I was pretty excited about it because of the idea of combining my business experience where I was a CEO before, but also combining with my passion around health, wellness, fitness. It was really a dream come true in many respects. And in fact, here's an interesting question that we ask ourselves is to really challenge yourself to be innovative. You step back and you go, if we had to do it all over again, how would we do it? And that's when we rethought about the ingredients in the product, how we approach the marketplace, and where do we want to go? Where don't we want to go? But so that led to an expansion in Canada, and maybe being a Canadian, that might have had a bit of influence in that. But the expansion in Canada has worked out really well. And so we've been approached by a few different races, and we're on course for the Ottawa race weekend in May. And then, of course, the upcoming Army Run, which we're also feel very privileged and humbled to be part of. That's an incredible race because it's not only just fun, but it's got an emotional side to it because of its meaning of, you know, giving thanks to the men and women that serve us.
Absolutely. And so how do you differentiate your product from the other products that are out there?
Well, the interesting thing is so Noon is a hydration product. And what we did is when the company actually started 14 years ago, we said that traditional sports drinks have got it all wrong. And I'll explain it as briefly as I possibly can. But basically what it is you really need electrolytes and minerals in your body to reduce muscle fatigue, to reduce muscle cramps, and really to make sure that everything is flowing within your body and the oxygen's getting to the right place. What ends up happening is with traditional sports drinks that are high in sugar, so Noon has 1 gram of sugar in a serving, to put in perspective, where traditional sports drinks are anywhere from 26 to 28 grams up to, it could be somewhere in the 40 range. And the problem with that is that that actually is not what your body needs. It needs fuel at certain points, and it also needs hydration, but not necessarily at the same rate. So when you start taking it in all together, it can cause things like intestinal distress, and therefore what ends up happening is your body starts to pull almost like the fluid, the water from your blood to dilute it, to get it back in check and get it back in balance. So so what we basically saw was the science said, we're actually dehydrating ourselves with traditional sports drinks. We've got it all wrong. And so separate the two, find your fuel source and take that as you need it and use hydration consistently throughout. As an example, just for clarity for you and the audience, if you think about this is on a hot day, your hydration needs go up and up and up and up and up. However, your fuel needs do not go up at that same rate. And so that's where you can cause havoc on your body. And I think that's what's happened is people have started to catch on in terms of the benefit of Noon and the approach that we're taking.
Very interesting. There's so much that we can explore with that, but we don't have time to do it. But I encourage people to check out Noon and go look at your website. What about your own running? Are you participating in any events coming up soon?
You know, I'm hesitant right now. So I just finished doing the 70.3 Ironman Whistler. Which was about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations.
And that went well. However, in the training for that, I developed an injury called plantar fasciitis, which I'd never had before.
Yeah,
so
I know all about that one.
Been a bit of an inhibitor. Have you had it?
Yeah, I had a mild case of it a few years back, yeah.
Well, it's getting better. So if you know, when you're starting to feel better, you're like, you're getting antsy, you want to start pushing it and running again. So I'm debating right now of whether or not I might run the half. at the Canada Army Run if it seems like it's prepared enough for that. And I'll probably, if I do that, I did it a couple years ago. I ran with Sergeant Mark Prudhomme, who is a big fan of Noon and Ambassador for our team. And so he's been poking me, asking me whether or not I was going to run it. And I said, I got to decide whether or not this injury will hold up. So that would be my next race because I have nothing else in the docket right now.
Okay. Well, Kevin, it's great to talk to you. I wish you continued success with Noon. I hope you recover from the plantar fasciitis soon and you're running again. And we look forward to seeing you in Ottawa for the Army Run. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Mark, thanks so much for having me. Cheers.
That's Kevin Rutherford, CEO of Noon Hydration. Coming up next, elite runner Sasha Gaulish. For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. Presented by BMO, in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa-Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race. The 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race. Register at armyrun.ca. Sasha Gaulish is one of several runners who have been featured on the cover of iRun magazine who will be gathering at a reunion at Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon next month. She is also a passionate advocate for our sport. She's talked and written very powerfully about body image issues and more. Sasha, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be back.
And how's your training going these days?
Training's great. It's been a magical summer. I moved up to the cottage that my boyfriend and I built. Really, he built it's his dream. But the training around here has just been so amazing. And the hot weather, I just love it. So it's really been such an amazing summer.
And the hot weather hasn't interfered with your training? Because I know some people don't like running in the hot weather and in the beating sun.
So I shouldn't say it hasn't interfered. I mean, I had a couple humid days that really got the better of me. But it's just a matter of adjusting things and understanding that, one, you're going to need more water and likely more fuel. And two, even just adjusting some times depending on, you know, how hot and how humid it is. And remembering that, you know, your legs can't see that time. So if you're pushing the pace, you're putting the good training in.
Yeah. And what's it like running in cottage country? Because I know where some of the cottages where I've stayed over the last few years, it can be kind of hilly, and I don't mind that, but it's a different kind of running. Sometimes you're running on dirt and gravel instead of running on the road.
So my cottage is actually in Tiny Township, and by all means, it's sort of, the lake is on an escarpment. At the end of the escarpment, I should say. So you can run the roads along the water and not go up the hill. The hills have been great for training when I've needed them, or I've been really fortunate to drive to some different, the tiny trails, quite fantastic, the Tay Trail. And then I also park at Bomb Beach, and I can run Tiny Beaches Road, which is this beautifully paved road that runs all along the chain of beaches between Wasaga and Awenda Park.
Oh, very cool. So you've got lots of options.
Yeah. Lots of options. It's not your typical sort of cottage training up in the Muskokas or the Kawasas. I mean, I'm never on main highway, and, you know, sometimes I don't even get to see a car. I'll see lots of people out biking and walking to the beach, but sometimes I don't even see a car. It's really different here.
Yeah. Now, you were on the cover of iRun, and you're going to be part of a reunion of cover subjects coming up at Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon. We'll talk about that in a moment. But you were on the cover of The Body Issue. We talked about it on the podcast at the time, and you had a lot of very important messages that you shared at that time. Did you get a lot of good feedback about that?
Oh, my gosh. It's been so wonderful, and it's actually been amazing. Some of my American friends didn't know the magazine as well, and I've been able to point them to it just as a reminder that, you know, running's for everybody, and it doesn't, you know, matter what times you're running. You know, hard is hard. Whatever's hard for you and whatever your definition of success is and whatever your definition of what your body image you want it to be, that's what's important. And there's no one body type that's supposed to be an elite runner or even just a regular runner.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And I always say that to people all the time. I think just about anybody, obviously there are people who have specific limitations, disabilities, right, other conditions and so on that can hamper running. But otherwise, I think anybody can run. And I certainly have seen lots of people, including people passing me in marathons and half marathons, who might have said to themselves or someone else might have said to them, you're not a runner or you don't have the body type of a runner. But there they are doing well in half marathons and marathons. And it really is a very inclusive sport, or can be, and it can be for everyone.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that it's changing, and that, you know, there's not just one outfit out there that you have to buy now, but there's a host of different things that make you feel comfortable and confident when you go out running.
So let's talk about this cover reunion. This is going to be kind of cool. We're going to get you together with Reed Coolset, Rachel Hanna, Krista Duchesne, and a few others, and get everybody together. We've been publishing iRun now for more than 10 years, so this will be kind of cool to get a whole bunch of people together who have been on the cover at one of the biggest running events of the year of this fall, a Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon.
Do you
ever get to be around some of those people and run with them, or are you training mostly on your own? Because I know there's a group of runners who are in Guelph and do a lot of training together, for example.
There are. And, you know, in Toronto, I have a similar group of friends that I run with. I'm quite lazy when it comes to driving. I'm very happy to get out on my feet and do my run, but I'm not a big fan of having to drive all over to meet up with people to run. And I just think there's, you know, a host of amazing runners, no matter where you go, that you can run with. So while I don't train with them, I'm always rooting for them and always ask how their training going. I mean, Rachel Hanna is the reason actually that I kind of got back into elite running. She's been such an amazingly empowering source in my life. So I talk to her a lot, but you know, other than that, like the traditional names that you would think of, I don't really train with them. And it's kind of nice to keep a low profile too.
Yeah. And I read a blog posting that you did recently about how you've gotten better as we do over time. You've gotten a little bit better at listening to your body. Sometimes there's an instinct among runners to do as much as possible and to push through the pain and all of that. But you actually walked home on one run because you had some issues with your Achilles.
Yeah, it got tight, and as opposed to making it painful, I was like, I should just walk home. I mean, ideally, if you can get a ride home, that's even better, but I didn't have a phone with me, and no one really passed me on the road to drive me home. I mean, it was a short walk, and there was no issue walking, but it's funny. Actually, I've been thinking about kind of building out on that, and I think one of the things I really failed to mention in that post was people see those days often as a lost opportunity. I lost the miles, I lost the workout, I lost this. But if you switch it and you let go and you say, well, this was an opportunity instead for my body to heal and to get stronger. And I think yesterday was a perfect example that sort of highlights this. So I was supposed to do a really long, steady state run yesterday. And I woke up yesterday, and it's funny, coffee tasted funny, but I just didn't think about it at the time. And that's actually a telltale sign that I'm not feeling well. And went about my day, started my run, and 2K into a really long run, I was like, I don't know what's up. Let me just, you know, spend the first 30 minutes of sort of exploring what's happening. And my time really went down. And I said, okay, you know what? Like, something's obviously up. As opposed to forcing this and causing some harm, I'm just going to really back off the pace. And I'll enjoy this as a slower run as opposed to like a big steady state run. And unfortunately, I really did actually pick up a bug and had one of those horrible moments where you're out in the country alone and you desperately need a bathroom. And some bear hates me for me violating the woods. But, and I woke up today and it was like, wow, I feel so much better. And again, as opposed to forcing that workout that I, you know, decided to abandon yesterday, I've moved it to tomorrow to make sure that my body's fully healed up. And missing that one workout, that sort of idea of make it or break it, is it's not going to make you, but it sure could break you. And as opposed to thinking of it as lost training, it's just an opportunity to stay strong or get stronger. And, you know, I think we're really hard on ourselves as runners when we think we've missed something. And if we can really reframe that in a positive way and see that it's an opportunity to get strong, I think we're all the better for it.
I think that's very well said, because I think there is that instinct to sort of say, well, yeah, I've got to, if I'm supposed to do 70 kilometers this week, if I only do 60 or 65, that means I've failed. That means I'm not going to be ready. And that isn't, in the long run, going to make as big a difference as if you do too much, you don't listen to your body, and you get injured, and that sets you back even further.
Exactly.
Yeah, so good for you for sharing that. That's a really important message. So I also saw that you've been putting in some big mileage recently. I think I saw you trained 177 kilometers in 1 week. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So are you many days running more than once in the same day?
It's kind of varied. Actually, the heat and humidity this summer broke up a lot more of my runs than I normally would have, just as a way to hydrate again and get some fuel in me. But yeah, I've been upping the mileage as I've been transitioning to the marathon slowly, and it's been great to do it as a slow build as opposed to a massive build. And this, you know, goes back to opportunities and lost opportunities. I mean, I think sometimes we just try and throw in too much mileage, and it's almost like your body gets sick and it just rejects it. So it's been good to build slowly, and I've really enjoyed the long miles, which really tells me I was meant to be a marathoner and perhaps not a 1,500-meter runner.
All right. And what does it take to kind of build all of that mileage into your schedule? Obviously, you've got to make some decisions, some sacrifices. You have to kind of build your life around when you're going to train, right?
Yeah, so I often sit down on Sundays and do a bit of a reflection from the week previous, talk about the different workouts in a journal that I keep, what my hardest training moment was, if I raced at all, and then I'll actually in my calendar sit down and kind of plan my week a bit and sort of block out time where I know I'm going to be training, and then block out time where I'm going to be doing my thesis. And then this summer I've been a lot more social than I normally have, which I haven't accounted for, but I think I'm the better for it overall for having spent some more time with my cottage neighbors up here.
Well, that's always important too. You've got to enjoy the summers. You've got to enjoy life. And summer's so short in Canada. You can't miss it. Yeah.
No. And it's been a good one this year.
Yeah, Ooh. Absolutely. Well, Sasha, the best of luck to you as you continue your training.
Thanks, Mark.
For the fall. And we're really excited about having you as part of this cover shoot of former cover subjects getting all together at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Mark. I look forward to celebrating iRun Magazine.
That's elite Canadian runner Sasha Gaulish. Coming up next, how the running community embraced one runner and inspired her to go farther. For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. Presented by BMO, in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa-Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race. The 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race. Register at armyrun.ca. Jessica Kupfer is one of many Canadian runners who's getting ready for the New York City Marathon in November. Jessica, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I understand that not quite similar to me, you didn't play a lot of sports when you were a kid. You didn't come to running from some long athletic background.
No, I didn't. I started running in 2010, and I've been hooked ever since. But outside of the 8 years that I've been running, I don't have a long history with the sport at all.
So what drew you to running?
Well, I really like the challenge that it gave me. It was something that I could focus on. I really started running sort of mid-university, and it was something that was at the time sort of a break from my studies, and it gave me a sort of an outlet to burn off any stress, and it gave me something to focus on and set some goals. And sort of an unexpected thing that I came out of running was meeting the awesome community that we have. And I've met some of my very best friends through my running community as well. So Originally, it was a bit of a break from studying that drew me to running, and then in the end, it was the people that made me stay. So,
yeah, that's so interesting because I've had the same experience, and I know so many other runners have as well. And you might go into running thinking that it's going to be a solo endeavor, and you sort of have this picture in your mind of a lone runner out there doing training runs on his or her own and running a race on his or her own. But you soon discover that there really is a community, that it's a supportive community, that you get to see people at your best and you meet lots of people and you can run with others. You can still run on your own, of course, and you do out of necessity from time to time, but there's always the opportunity to be part of that group.
But that's so true. I mean, I've done some marathon training blocks where I did it solo, but I think more and more, I just love training with people. I have a local running club, Health and Performance, that I train with, and it's just so awesome whether I'm rolling out of bed for my 6 a.m. track workout, just knowing that there's other people who are doing it, even if it's pouring rain, it sort of validates the crazy, maybe. But also it's just having someone to talk to when you're turning over those long miles, and it's so important, and they're not just running partners then. They become really close friends, and often I find that runners are just high performers in every area of your life, and it's something that I strive to be too. So it's an awesome way to connect with, you know, your like-minded people.
Yeah, people who are goal-oriented, people who are testing themselves, people who want to perform. That's what draws a lot of people to running.
Yeah, precisely. It's our people.
Yeah, exactly. So you're getting ready for your fifth marathon this November in New York City. And
yes,
I know you'll have a great experience there. I've done New York a couple of times, and it's a fantastic event. Tell me about some of the other marathons that you've run.
Well, I have gotten increasingly more wise with how I train for marathons. My very first marathon, I did those were the solo training where I didn't really have a community. I didn't have a coach. I really didn't know what I was doing. So the very first one I did was Scotiabank in Toronto. Awesome race, had a great first race experience, but did a very rookie error of running an entire marathon the week before the marathon just to make sure that I could do the distance. So definitely, and then I ended up racing with Achilles tendonitis. So a painful run and maybe not very smart on nutrition. So worked out a few issues there. My second marathon was the year after that. And I did, so Waterloo has a stage race called the Endure Run, where over the course of 7 days, there's six races. It's 160 kilometers total. And the last race is a marathon. So I did that stage for my club, which is another example of how, you know, relays are a great way that
sure.
that community can bring. It's not a solo thing. Anyways, I was in pain, but I think, you know, runners are in pain a lot of the time if you're pushing yourself. And it's just sort of as a new runner, sort of gauging how, you know, you need to learn what is a training pain and what is a pain that you should stop. And I still didn't quite know how to approach that. And I found out after I ran that marathon that I had double stress fractures in both of my tibias. So that was my second marathon.
Wow.
But I did qualify for Boston with that one. So I
congratulations.
Signed up for Boston. Thank you. I made sure that I got healthy, and that sort of marked an important turning point in my training. I signed up with a coach because I realized that on my own, I wasn't really able to read my body and make sure that I was making wise training decisions. And so after my stress fractures healed, I did Boston, but I only had about from the end of January to the beginning of April to sort of build out of not very much. So I think we ran Boston the same year.
That's right, 2015.
I ran a more conservative marathon. Yeah, so more conservative marathon, but honestly, it was the most fun I've ever had a marathon in my life because I actually negative splitted because I was holding back because I was just coming back from my injury.
Okay.
So it was a lot of fun to finish a marathon and sort of run down that final stretch to the finish line feeling awesome.
There's a great lesson in that. holding back, you know, you like obviously there are if you're not focused on getting a specific time. If you're able to run a negative split, you're probably going to have a better experience and enjoy the whole event more than if you are, you know, run the first half too fast and you're hanging on at the end.
Oh, completely. And I'd rather remember and really enjoy that final stretch than make it a test march. So, and then my final standalone, in between that one and the one that I did this spring, I did do an Ironman, which has a marathon in, but it's a completely different beast to run that marathon. I would almost argue that a standalone marathon hurts more because it's at a much different pace. So I did my fourth and last, up until now, standalone marathon this spring, and I raced the Waterloo Marathon. And I did it similar to my Boston. I held back. I decided, you know, I wanted to try to win it. So I decided I'm only going to run as hard as I need to in order to win it. So I didn't really push as hard as I could, and just sort of finished strong in the very end, which was a really unique and different way to race. I'm not obviously not professional, so I don't do that type of running in a marathon very often, but it was fun to kind of do the surging and sort of watching and seeing how that was going to play out. So that was a fun way to race a marathon.
And you actually won.
I did.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was your time?
Not expecting this for New York. So I ran Waterloo in 3:11. I forget the second behind that.
Okay.
One.
Okay. Wow. Fantastic. Good for you.
Thank you. And I'm going for a PR in New York. So I'm going to put a lot of focus and training into that to try and run my best time.
Now, I want to go back to your first marathon for a second, because you
Sure.
said something there that I think is worth talking about a little more. You said the week before you ran the race, you ran marathon distance to make sure you could do it. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
It's horrifying, but it's
well,
correct.
Well, no, but, you know, I understand the instinct to want to do that. It's not the best approach from a training point of view and in terms of being ready to run the marathon on race day, but I totally understand that, because I remember training for my first marathon, and when I looked at the training program, I thought to myself, how is it that I'm supposed to run 42 kilometers when I'm never going to run that far in training? How am I going to do it on the race day? So you do feel like you have to test yourself in training, and I understand that instinct.
Right, and it's you sort of need to have that history where you build up that confidence of, you know I can run that far. I don't really need to run much further than 32 kilometers in my training cycle. You just need to build that base. But, I mean, as a new runner, you just don't have that confidence. So
yeah.
I think that's where I think having either a group that you run with or just getting educated on it or getting a coach, just one of those things so you're not, because I find that as a new runner, basically all of your basic instincts are incorrect. So
that's
you need
right.
to have someone
that's
smarter
you
than
need,
you to
yeah.
override that.
You need some smarter, more experienced runner around you to say, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's
yeah.
not the way to go. Trust me. Yeah.
And sometimes people like me just need to learn the hard way. I really did. The good news is I really did learn my lesson after those stress fractures. I have no issue if I start a training session now and my legs feel flat or something's just off. I have no problem calling a session, because I know that by missing a workout to make sure that I'm fully recovered and strong and not getting injured is less of a big deal than missing, you know, three
sure.
to 6 weeks due to an injury.
Yeah. And tell me more about what appeals to you about New York. You're going to go for a personal best there, but why did you choose New York City?
Honestly, it's one of the most iconic races in the world. And I've been to New York City, but I've never seen all five boroughs. So it'll be a fantastic experience to sort of run through all of them. And it's just sort of, I know that the city comes alive. It's been on a bucket list race for me for a very long time. I love the event and I love the city. So there's really not much about it that doesn't appeal to me, to be honest.
Very cool. Well, I wish you the best of luck with your training, Jessica, and I know you're going to have a great experience in New York no matter what, because it is a fantastic event. Thanks for sharing your story with us. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. And, I mean, if you have any additional tips for New York, I will gladly take them.
All right,
Thank
I will
you
send
so
them
much
your way.
For having me on.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
That's Jessica Kupfer, who will be running the New York City Marathon in November. Coming up on next week's edition of I Run Radio, a runner who's preparing for one of the toughest ultra marathons on the planet, the Grand to Grand Ultra, and Canadian Olympian Dylan Wykes. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.